Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this truth that we plan on looking at this morning. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Father, we pray that you would grant us this grace, and that all of us here today would find this true in our hearts, that we hungered and thirsted after righteousness. Amen. Just as an introduction, I want you to imagine for a moment that you had been one of those disciples that day. Imagine walking up the mountain, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and hearing these words fall from those sacred lips. Or even imagine later on sitting down with one of the Apostle John or someone else, and recalling that day. What blessedness you would feel as you recalled those words. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's a joy and a glory you would feel as you recalled hearing those very words from the very lips of Christ. And yet at the same time, we ought to feel that same glory, that same joy, and that same blessedness just from reading it in Scripture. Because we are here this morning, and we do have it recorded. Christ did walk up that mountain, and he did sit down, and he did teach his disciples. And he did say these words, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness." And the Scripture is just as real now as it was then. Without righteousness, there is no blessedness. In the Garden of Eden, there was perfect righteousness, and there was perfect blessedness. And when we reach glory, there will once again be perfect righteousness and perfect blessedness. But for now, we are in a world that is filled with sin. And somehow we have to cope with these things. There is a lack of righteousness, and there is a lack of blessedness in this world we live in. We have to cope with the pain and the suffering. And here, in the midst of all this, Jesus tells us something interesting. He says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Just simply having the desire for righteousness, you will begin to enter into that blessedness. In heaven, when you are standing on those streets of gold, inside those pearly gates, you will be perfectly righteous, and you will be perfectly blessed. But now, just simply hungering and thirsting after righteousness can give you a taste of that very blessedness you will then experience. The nature of hunger. I mentioned this as I opened. The two most urgent cravings that the human being can experience are hunger and thirst. And these are the two things Jesus picked when he was grasping for something to liken the desire that you ought to have for righteousness. He says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." These two cravings have such a control over most people that most people have never actually experienced them. Because as soon as we begin to get hungry, we find something to eat. As soon as we feel the smallest thirst, we get something to drink. It's a rarity to find of a man who can truly tell of an experience where he was hungry or thirsty. True hunger and true thirst will drive a man crazy because It controls sin. And that is what Jesus picked to express the way we ought to feel about being righteous. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger does not leave until you feed it. You cannot tell a hungry man, just wait it out. It'll get better. He knows that it won't. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You can place the world before a hungry man. Business prospects that will make him rich. You can place glory, honor, and fame and power before a hungry man. And he will care for nothing. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. That's what hunger will do. I was once out witnessing, and I asked a man where he was going to spend eternity. He said, I don't know, but I know where I'm going to spend the next 15 minutes. Points at the restaurant down the street. Said, I'm going to get something to eat. To a hungry man, eternity. Eternity in heaven or hell does not even matter. Because he's hungry. He cares about one thing, filling his belly. And that is the way we operate as human beings. When we are hungry, that is the most important thing. That's human nature. And then Jesus comes and says, he draws on this. He builds on that fact. And he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. When a man sits at the table and he begins to notice that nothing's organized right, the napkins aren't folded right, the parsley isn't arranged on the meat right, the salt and pepper shakers were switched around. They were supposed to be sitting the other way. This person isn't hungry. You know that person's not hungry. A hungry person just sees the food and he wants to eat. And when a Christian can't go to church because the chairs are hard, can't listen to the preacher because he's inconsistent, whatever it may be, when you see a Christian picking at little things, you know he's not very hungry. This hunger for righteousness starts as an all-consuming desire to be right with God. The verse itself implies that man is not righteous. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst are things that we cannot fill ourselves. When you are hungry, you must be filled from an outside source. You must quench your thirst from an outside source. And that is the very implication of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You cannot quench your own thirst. Nor can you make yourself righteous. So, the first step to hungering and thirsting after righteousness is to realize that you are a sinner. To a man who realizes his sinfulness, to the man who is striving and praying and working, the idea of the finished work of Christ comes with a peculiar sweetness. A sweetness that nobody else can understand or relate to. Hunger, as is said, is the best seasoning. And If you don't love Jesus, it's because you never were hungry. And that's because you never saw your sinfulness. If you see your sinfulness, you will see what Christ has done for you. And you will love Him. True hunger after righteousness desires to be right in every way. It desires to be right in conduct. It desires to be right in language. It desires to be right in thought. It desires to be marked by integrity, by kindness, by mercifulness. It makes you desire that you would be known by love. It makes you desire to have correct desires before God. It causes you to desire to know who God is and to rightly know God. To know how to pray. To rightly praise Him. To properly obey Him. And to love God. But a godly man hungers also to see righteousness in others. The more holy a man is, the more sin will vex his soul. We see then that hunger expresses itself in three ways. First, it causes you to desire to stand righteous before God. Second, it causes you to live righteous before God. And thirdly, it causes you to desire to see righteousness in others. Causes you to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, end the reign of sin. Cast down the idols. Chase error from the earth. Turn men from lust, avarice, and greed, and drunkenness, and every kind of sin. Turn men from darkness into light. Lord, save souls. Such prayers come from a hunger and thirst after righteousness. But this brings us to a paradox, and a very interesting one at that. We would not naturally say, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. We would naturally say, blessed is he that is satisfied. We want to be satisfied. We want to be full. We want to need nothing. But Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Present tense. Blessed are they which do hunger. Hunger now, for they shall be filled. Future tense. This is a great paradox. Blessed are you if you are hungry, for you shall be filled. But you are still blessed now, while we hunger. What? Hungry and yet blessed? Yes, hungry and yet blessed. You might be saying, oh, that I were righteous before God. Oh, that I were forgiven. Oh, that I were saved. You might be crying, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bondage of this death? Oh, wretched man that I am, so controlled by sinful tendencies. Why these thoughts? Why these wrong desires? Maybe not you, but maybe your friends. Maybe you water your pillow at night with tears, crying, God, save them. Maybe your father, your mother, your children. The hunger has gripped you. You feel the pain in the deepest parts of your heart. More than you can bear, and you would almost choose death rather than life for reason of the pain. You begin to say with Paul, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Or with Moses, yet now, if thou wilt, forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. This is blessedness. How can you call this blessed? How can this deep, gnawing pain be blessedness? Mainly because Jesus said it is. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The deeper you feel this pain, the more blessed you are. Why are we blessed? Firstly, because Jesus said so. Secondly, because you've been made to know the right value of things. You used to value self, pleasure, wealth, greatness. Now you value the right things. You've gone from being a child who values the glass bead more than the pearl to understanding the true value of the pearl. Thirdly, because many meaner hungers leave. All the things, money hunger, land hunger, pleasure thirst, lust thirst, fame hunger, all these other hungers, the things that you wanted, the things that your flesh desires, are outweighed by this hunger and thirst after righteousness. The hunger for righteousness is a singular hunger. It is a discriminating hunger. It's not just a feeling that must be satisfied. It is a craving for one thing. Pleasure, happiness. All such things no longer matter. You have one desire that must be fulfilled at all cost. The hungry man never says, I would like a meal, but I can do without. The hungry man says, I must have food. Present tense, I must eat now. The hungry soul never says, I'd like to be saved sometime, if it works out. The hungry soul says, I must be saved. I must be right with God. I must be righteous. I will not let thee go until thou bless me. The hungry man always speaks in the present tense. This one desire so far outshines every other desire that the man can truly say, the man who has experienced this can truly say that he hates his father, his mother, his children, yes, his own life also. Fourthly, because you're delivered from many foolish delusions. Mainly, that you can satisfy your own needs. As I mentioned before, sometimes we say, I'm hungry enough I could eat my arm. And yet we all know it's not true. We cannot satisfy our own hunger. And the person who is hungry after righteousness knows that just as truly as we know we can't satisfy our own hunger. The hungry soul knows that he does not have what it takes to be righteous. He must have the work of Christ. He must have a Savior. He must have something from an outside source. He must have Christ. Fifthly, you're blessed because hunger is a mark of the work of the Spirit. The natural man does not desire the things of God. And if you find in your heart a desire and a hunger after righteousness, you know that the Spirit, at least in a little way, is at work in your life. And sixthly, you are blessed because it makes you like your Master. Who was it that said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of? My meat is to do the work of him that sent me. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness makes you like your Master. And after all this, the most important thing is that it comes with a blessed promise. They shall be filled. But even this comes along with its own paradox. Because the more we are filled, the more hungry we become. Only this hunger comes without the bitterness. But it still is hunger. The righteousness we attain comes in many steps. And every step that we gain brings us further on and gives us greater desire to take that next step. We look back and we thank God for where He's brought us. But we look forward and we crave for more. And hunger and thirst is the only way to express the way we feel. The farther we go, the greater our desire goes or becomes to go farther. In 2 Peter 1:5, we read, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have saving faith. In that, your hunger has been satisfied. But that only sparks a desire to add to your faith virtue. And that spark kindles a fire that burns hotter and hotter until all the other desires are swallowed up and you cry out with David, this one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. You begin to see things in your life that need to change. You begin to desire virtues that until now you didn't even know that you didn't have. You go to the next step. You realize, the Lord's been changing me. I now have these virtues that I did not have in times past. And your hunger only increases. You go from hunger to hunger. One hunger is quenched, and the next one is sparked. The man who stops asking for more probably never got anything. But this won't end this way. For now, while we are on this earth, every step of the way, you're satisfied and you're hungry. And you're satisfied and you're hungry. But there is coming a day when we will be satisfied fully. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as that ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. These feet of mine will someday stand in a sinless form on those golden streets. These eyes of mine will turn and look without a single worry of seeing something sinful. These ears of mine will hear nothing but music and praise and singing and hallelujahs. My tongue will be fully tamed. There will never again pass between my lips anything but wholesome words. And then I shall know as I am known and stand complete before the throne. And then my hunger will be fully satisfied. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that you would take these few feeble words, sink them deep into our hearts, and help us, Father, to exercise ourselves towards this end, that we would truly hunger and thirst after righteousness. And bless us even now as we go our own ways. And I pray that you would be with us the rest of the day. Be with the next meeting. Father, speak to us then. Amen. And let's dismiss.